790 KFGO. We look forward to this program once a month here on KFGO, the IMA Doctor Show. And this is where you can talk to Dr. Mark Yohe, this hour, internal medicine physician specializing in men's health. Our phone number is 237-5948, 800-880-5346. You can text us, JNS, at 35270, and you can email your questions to kfgo.studio at kfgo.com. Dr. Yohe, welcome. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, first of all, we'll start with health news, and we would take your calls right now. Amy Eiler is standing by to get your name, and we'll have you talk to Dr. Yohe about any health issue now. Phone lines are open. You can text us at 35270 or email us at kfgo.studio at kfgo.com. Okay, doctor. So if I think I want to get a second opinion, should I just go ahead and do it? Do I ask you whether I should get a second opinion, or how does one really go about that? I'm blushing just thinking about it.
Yeah, each individual is different. Some people will come in and say, you know, I want a second opinion. Who do you recommend? And it depends on what, you know, actually is going on. So I think most providers will welcome it. You know, there's probably some out there who get upset or think that, you know, you're overstepping bounds or something like that. But I think, you know, truly the patient has a right. If they want a second opinion, they certainly are welcome to that. And if they come in and ask me who they should see, I don't have a problem telling them where I think they should go.
And when should someone seek a second opinion? Is it over something really serious, or whether...
I think a lot of people seek second opinions if their situation's complicated. If they're not getting the answers they want and things are still ongoing, then they often are looking to a second opinion. Me being more in primary care, we often will see patients who've seen specialists who come back to our office and they're like still not sure what's going on. And they're saying, you know, I've seen this person, I've seen that person, I think it's time for a second opinion. And so I'll work with them, you know, coordinating care to get them to Mayo Clinic or wherever they prefer to go, and we'll get things arranged. So I definitely think there's a role for second opinions. And, you know, certain people, you know, the more complicated the situation and when you're not getting answers, then it's time to, you know, look at a broader picture.
It doesn't, or does it affect how you treat them in the future?
I don't think so. No. A lot of times people will, even if they go down to Mayo Clinic for a second opinion, they'll come back here for all the care. If they find a treatment regimen that is determined by the doctor down there, we can coordinate it back up here. So they don't even need to continue to go down there. They just may go down there, get the diagnosis, and then come back here for care. So it does not hinder future care with us.
790 KFGO 1116. If you have any questions about seeking a second opinion, you can certainly call us 237-5948, 800-880-5346. Here is an email from Bob, Dr. Yohe. Any pointers on getting sciatica under control? A week on prednisone, Lyrica, and Percocet has done zero to decrease this pain. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Sciatic pain is difficult for patients. He's currently on a good regimen. The prednisone's good for anti-inflammation. The Lyrica helps with nerve pain. He may need to have that Lyrica titrated up, and the dose may need to be adjusted to help improve pain. Sometimes, you know, when medication's not working, they need to look towards chiropractic or physical therapy, or they need to repeat imaging if they haven't had that done, because maybe even an injection into the area where the spot is inflamed or a disc is bulging can reduce the pain and discomfort.
If someone, back to second opinions for just a moment, I would guess that a fair amount, if they want second opinions, Mayo Clinic isn't that far. But will you also recommend doctors within our community, for example?
Absolutely. Some people say, you know, they don't want to travel, or they've been at one institution in town and seen several specialists, and they say, you know, I want a second opinion somewhere else, so then I'll give my recommendation at the other institution if that's where they want to go. You'll find others who do want to go to University of Minnesota, others who want to go to Mayo Clinic.
Here is a question from Jean. How do you handle joint and muscle pain of fibromyalgia without taking narcotic drugs?
There are several drugs that are approved for fibromyalgia that are not narcotics. One of them that we just spoke about is Lyrica. It helps with nerve pain, but it's also approved for people with fibromyalgia. Cymbalta is another medication that I use quite frequently. You can also use Neurontin or Gabapentin. It's not approved for it, but it's used widely as it because it's generic. There's another medication out there called Savella, which I will use as well. So there are other pharmacotherapy options other than narcotics. In fact, they're probably better for you to be on those long term than it is to be on a narcotic. Also, you know, simple exercise, they have to get out and move, stretching, yoga, all those will benefit.
Is this something that might benefit from medical marijuana?
Actually, there's probably studies out there that are coming that will probably say that. You know, we don't have that here in North Dakota, but I think if you went across the country in the areas that do have it, people probably would say they get relief from it.
1119, this is the IMA Doctor Show on KFGO. IMA Healthcare is located at 1707 Gold Drive in the Goldmark Office Park, just east of Doolittle's. Their phone number is 701-280-2033, and you'll find them online at imahealthcare.com. Dr. Mark Yohe is here. House Call segment is coming up next. Dr. Yohe is here to answer any health-related questions you may have. Call in and get some expert advice on symptoms and treatment options or medications you may be taking. The doctor is in on the IMA Doctor Show on KFGO.
It's time for the IMA doctors to take house calls. Call now 237-5948 or 800-880-5346, where you get answers to any healthcare question. This is the all-new House Call segment with the physicians from IMA Healthcare.
We like the IMA Doctor Show. Dr. Mark Yohe is with us today. He can listen to any medical problem you might have and give you some idea. He can't diagnose here on the radio, but he certainly has a grasp of what you're talking about. And The waiting room is, we have a couple of places. You could sit over there and watch the fish. But in the meantime, let's see. Let's go to Karen. She has a question for the IMA doctor, Dr. Mark Yohe. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes, I was put on two kinds of strong pain pills last fall for my disc. And fortunately, that improved. So I'm taking almost nothing now. But could you please tell us the dangers of taking a lot of pain pills for a long time?
Well, the biggest risk is depending on which pain pills you take. You know, if you're on a narcotic, there can be dependence issues and abuse potential. So those are some of the major risks that we find occur with some people. The other risks are the pain medications are typically combined with Tylenol, so you have to be careful not to take extra Tylenol on the side if you're already taking a product that contains it, because the acetaminophen can be hard on one's liver and you can overdose. And so the makers and the government have decided recently that they have to cut down on the actual Tylenol amount in the combination drugs. So most of them that used to have 500 milligrams of Tylenol with them now are cutting it down to 325. So there's less risk because you're taking more doses a day. So those are kind of the major risks. Constipation can be a huge issue because narcotics are kind of notorious for causing constipation. So some people really struggle with those, with that.
It's 25 minutes after 11 o'clock, and you can always email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. You can text questions at 35270. Carol says, are there advantages of regular massage therapy and pain management?
Oh, I think massage is a wonderful thing for people who experience chronic pain. It helps with relieving muscle tension. It can help improve significant back and neck issues. It can improve headaches. I think it can really be a benefit for a lot of people. I recommend it quite frequently in my practice for people who come in with pain. You know, unfortunately, some people are hindered because of the cost and the insurance doesn't really cover it. But I think, you know, once a month or if you can afford it, it's definitely worth getting in and having that done.
Al, you have a question for Dr. Mark Yohe? Al?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was wondering what a person can do for a bruised tailbone.
Unfortunately, a bruised tailbone is difficult to treat. It's pretty much pain control. Anti-inflammatory medications such as ibuprofen or Advil, Aleve would be of benefit. Tailbones are difficult. They're hard to heal. and they do cause a lot of pain.
Thank you for that call. Good luck to you, man. I've had that. John, we hope you can stick around for just a few minutes here.
One show gives you the information that can change and save your life. IMA Doctors, live in studio with Jack and Sandy. It's straight talk and honest answers to your healthcare questions from the team of doctors at IMA Healthcare.
790 KFGO, it's our House Calls segment here on the mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Mark Yoki, internal medicine physician specializing in men's health and chronic disease management with a special interest in joint injections and arthritis, is here to take your calls. He's answering your health-related questions today on the IMA Doctor Show on KFGO.
It's 11:35. We're in the midst of House Calls, and we have plenty of room in the waiting room for you right now. Feel free to call. John has been here quite a while. Probably looked through all the magazines. John, you're on the IMA Doctor Show with Dr. Mark Yohe.
Hi. I've been considering leaving my body to science, but I'm afraid it would be rejected. My problem, doctor, I really am being driven crazy, or a little bit anyway, by restless leg syndrome. I take propranolol. And the doctor has increased the dosage. That's not real heavy. It's 2 milligrams a few times a day. I started out with 1, but it's. I was just wondering if there's anything that you'd know, maybe diet, some kind of a change in the diet. I've been able to successfully lose enough weight to no longer be considered type 2 diabetic, which is good. Doctor thinks that's great, but this RLS is just nuts.
Well, and first of all, before you answer, tell us a little bit about what that is, please.
So restless leg syndrome is typically when occurs at most often at bedtime. So someone lays down in bed or they start to, you know, take it easy in the evening and they start to kind of get this feeling that they've got to move their leg, or they get a creepy crawly sensation in one or both of their legs, and it's usually relieved if they sit there and move it, which makes sleep very difficult because you want to rest and you want to lay down and then you want to keep moving your leg because you're miserable. So he's currently on one of the drugs that is used for it. There are other options, and there's adjunct meds that you could add to it. So if you're not getting relief from just the Requip, then you need to talk about either further increasing the dose or trying to have another medication added. There are a few things that sometimes will worsen restless legs. So some people, if they become anemic and their iron level drops really low, that will exacerbate symptoms. You want to make sure that sleep apnea isn't a problem either. So those are kind of some other options to look at to make sure that there's not another underlying condition that's causing problems, because usually people get pretty good relief with the Requip.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Doggone, I hope you get some control over that. We're getting emails, too. We'll get to those here in just a moment. But Dan, you're on KFGO with the IMA doctor, Mark Yohe.
Yes, Mark. Question about joint injection. I've had bursitis in my hip for about 3 years now, and I've changed professions even trying to get it go away from constant repetition. I've had 2 injections of cortisone shots, and I was wondering what the long term is. Is it something? How many cortisone shots do you like yourself recommend, or any? I'll sit back and listen.
Usually, the bursitis can be a kind of persistent problem. The joint injection or then cortisone injection will take care of it. And it usually comes back if there's something underlying where your gait is off or there's some sort of alignment issue that's leading to recurrent excess stress over that bursa. So usually my recommendation is a cortisone injection at no sooner than every 4 months. So it's hard to say an exact number of how many you can have. It kind of just depends on, you know, age and overall health. But a lot of times we do end up repeating quite a few of them. Since you've had continued problems and you've changed careers and whatnot, I look at, you know, making sure that you've got good foot inserts and making sure your shoes are proper, as some of those issues may be underlying that are causing you to continue to have repeat issues.
Dr. Mark Yohe is here on KFGO. We have an email about lower back muscle spasms. And boy, you'd be a millionaire if you could find a solution to that, I bet, quickly. We'll get to those emails. The IMA Doctor Show continues with House Calls on 790 KFGO. KFGO, the IMA Doctor Show, continues with Dr. Mark Yohe from IMA Healthcare. We have lots of emails to get to, Dr. Yohe. One emailer talks about hip pain again, dealing with it for 18 years. That's a long time to deal with hip pain, isn't it?
That certainly is. Sometimes they need further imaging if they haven't had any, and they probably are developing some sort of underlying, you know, arthritis or something along that nature. So if they haven't had an MRI, that's probably something that needs to be done.
Also, you know, here's another email. What can you do to relieve the pain of lower back muscle spasms?
Usually we start to look at muscle relaxants. Is probably one of the first things we'll try. There's a bunch of different muscle relaxants out there. So if you don't get relief from one, there's other options. Again, this might be something where people would benefit from massage, getting those muscles worked out, trying to relieve the tension and get to the root of the problem.
Okay, I think someone's playing stump the doctor here. Is a test for elevated liver enzymes included in routine blood testing? What are the dangers of elevated liver enzymes? Mike wants to know.
Usually when someone comes in for a physical, we do that blood test. If you get ordered a comprehensive metabolic panel, that'll include liver and kidney function. So most of the time, if you're coming in for like routine screening stuff, that exam is done. The dangers of elevated liver enzymes, you know, if they're mildly elevated, there's usually not much of a problem. It's something that we'll continue to monitor. If they get real elevated, 2-3 times the upper limit of normal or higher, you know, this could signal an underlying disease such as hepatitis if they're in the thousands, or if there's something going on with the gallbladder or the biliary tree that can indicate problems looking at your liver functions. There's also a disease out there called fatty liver disease, and that usually just causes some mild asymptomatic, you know, elevations in liver functions that are just followed over time.
What is the status of flu around here, Dr. Yohe?
I've seen less of it in the last couple of weeks at the office, so I think it's probably on the down or declining.
It is. Okay.
Another email here, kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. Should I be worried about lumps in my neck?
Depending on where the lumps are located, you've got lots of glands in your neck, so you could have, you know, swollen glands for several reasons. Infection can cause it, but there can be underlying diseases that are more serious. So depending on exactly what they are and where they're located, it certainly could be a concern, and it's probably worth getting checked out.
We have open phone lines, and you can email us. It looks like we're pretty well caught up on emails at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. You can text us a question for Dr. Yohe at 35270, and our phone lines are open. We're in the house calls segment, so if you need answers to your medical questions, now's a good time.
Here's a good one. This was just texted in. Thank you. It says, doctor, how can a person tell if they're depressed or has cabin fever? Good one.
Depression has been, at least I've seen a lot more of it recently in the office, and people are questioning, you know, is this related to the prolonged winter or not? It's hard to sometimes figure out. Sometimes you have to go back in their history and find out, has this been a recurrent thing over the winters? And there's also some screening things that we do in the office that they answer a bunch of questions, and it'll help guide us into what actually is going on.
Are there different symptoms?
The symptoms can overlap, so that can be difficult.
Here's another one. I recently started training for the half marathon in May, and at about mile 4, my left foot goes numb. Is it my shoes?
If it's just isolated to your foot, it could be a circulation problem if your shoe is too tight, or it could be your shoe. If there's numbness in other places, it could be related to the back. So it's hard to exactly say without taking a look and knowing exactly the distribution of the numbness.
Alan wants to know about preventive screenings, Dr. Yohi. Should you do that if you don't have health problems?
I definitely recommend preventive screenings. The preventive screenings are going to include, depending on age, but cholesterol and thyroid, blood count, and often liver and kidney function are basic screenings that we do. As one ages, you know, females are important to do basic screenings of mammogram to look for breast cancer. They're annual, they don't necessarily need it annually anymore. It can be extended every 3 years, but pap smears is also considered a screening. Prostate exam and PSA testing for men, and then eventually colonoscopy once you hit age 50. So definitely, because there are things that can be picked up on those preventative screenings, such as diabetes, thyroid issues, with the blood count, sometimes you can find a brewing cancer or something like that. So they are important to be done.
237-5948, 800-880-5346, #5346. You can email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. Heck, you can text us at 35270. Right now, Dr. Mark Yohi is in for another 10 minutes or so taking your phone calls. And I see, okay, Bob is in. Okay, we're going to be checking in with Bob Harris again. I think that's coming right up here on KFGO. #790 KFGO, it's 11:53. We are here with the doctor. Dr. Mark Yohi is in from the IMA Healthcare. And this just came in. We just noticed this news that an actor named Eric Ramis, whom we remember from Ghostbusters and other things, has died from a rare disease, complications of autoimmune inflammatory vasculitis, which has to do with the swelling of the blood vessels. Is that ever a part of your learning?
Oh, absolutely. There's different kinds of vasculitis that can occur. Some people, there's small vessel vasculitis, and then there's large vessel vasculitis. So depending upon which vessels are involved, can cause various symptoms. So there's diseases out there where people will get coughing up blood and get recurrent sinus infections, and that can be a vasculitis. These are not common things that occur. And then there's large vessel things that will happen as well. So the blood vessels get inflamed, and often the treatment is high doses of prednisone.
Lloyd wants to know, what questions should I ask my doctor about a cardiac enzyme test, and are you taking new patients?
Oh. Yes, we're taking new patients at our office. And the cardiac enzyme test, it's not quite sure what he means by it. When someone comes in with chest pain to either our office or the emergency department, often we will run cardiac enzymes. Those enzymes are usually elevated in an acute heart attack. There are other entities that can lead to them being elevated, but that's often when we run cardiac enzymes. There is something called cardiac CRP, which is a marker for inflammation. So we will run that, and you take that test combined with elevated cholesterol, often indicates there's inflammation in the blood vessels in the heart, which causes higher risk of development of heart disease, necessitating a higher urgency to be put on a cholesterol med to get that cholesterol to goal.
Heroin is in the news a lot these days, Dr. Yohi. We're hearing more about it out in Dickinson, the deaths in Hennepin County, Minnesota, all the deaths out east. What's wrong?
Apparently, heroin is cheap, and it's becoming a resurgent in a whole host of areas throughout the country.
Dr. Mark Yohi is with the IMA Healthcare, located not far from Doolittle's at 1707 Gold Drive, imahealthcare.com. You can contact them at 280-2033. IMA Healthcare embraces the personal side of medicine. And our next show with the IMA doctors will be Monday, March 17th. Dr. Yohi, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me
again. Thanks, Dr. Yohi.